It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them, right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
It's Congress's way or the highway, with funding for roads and other transportation projects under discussion today. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. The odds are, coming out of the holiday weekend, that you spent some time on America's highways in the last few days. So this may be the wrong time to tell you that many think what this country needs is more construction zones. Congress is back today after the 4th of July recess and supposedly back to work on funding transportation, as Conrad Wilson reports.
The Highway Trust Fund is financed by an 18.4 cent per gallon gas tax, which hasn't increased in 20 years. And that's just part of the reason there may not be enough money.
You'll see the trust fund running low on fumes to the point where Federal Highway Administration will have to slow down payments to states.
Joshua Schenck runs the Eno Center for Transportation. Last week, the Department of Transportation announced that unless Congress puts more money in the fund, it will delay payments to states starting in August.
The immediate effect would be a slowing down or termination of construction projects around the country.
The Obama administration says there's as many as 700,000 jobs at stake. But there's also a long-term reason to be concerned.
The road network suffers dramatically. The transit systems can't expand. And all of this really has an economic downside to it.
Jack Basso is a former CFO at the U.S. Department of Transportation. He says poor infrastructure slows the movement of people and goods, and those bridges and roads become even more expensive to fix later on. I'm Conrad Wilson for Marketplace.
Shoppers at Walmart this fall might notice something new on some of the products, a little logo that says it was made by a woman-owned company. Dan Bobkoff reports that backers hope it'll boost small businesses and sales.
The women-owned logo will first appear in a kind of salsa, a line of cosmetics, the smart and sexy brand of underwear, and the household cleaner called CLR. Pamela Prince Easton heads the Women's Business Enterprise National Council, one of the organizations working with Walmart on the logo.
Women in general, if there's a product that they can tell is a woman-owned product, they'll actually buy that product over the next product.
The organizations will be watching closely to see if the logo affects sales in either direction. Women buy more cosmetics, but CLR skews male. Laura Cray of UC Berkeley says consumers think highly of women-owned businesses.
I think there might be a sense of trust and confidence in the fair dealings of the organization.
Marlene Morris Towns of Georgetown University says just seeing the logo could get consumers to want to learn more about gender issues in business.
It brings that issue to the forefront and actually makes people look into it and say, well, what is this and why is it important?
Backers are talking to Macy's and Office Depot, too. In New York, I'm Dan Bobkoff from Marketplace.
The Museum of Modern Art in New York has added the first downloadable app to its collection. It's called Biophilia from Bjork, which the singer released in 2011 along with an album. Downloadable for $13 even now, which is not bad, perhaps, for museum-quality art. Tracy Samuelson has more on the question, when is an app art?
The app opens to a swirling constellation with a star for each song from the album.
It's a very simple thing. So you launch play.
Paul Galloway manages MoMA's architecture and design collection. This is the museum's first app. But it follows other digital acquisitions in typography and video games, like Tetris. He says this song, Virus, is a metaphor for love.
Like looking in a microscope down at cells, and these little green guys come in.
They're viruses that start to attack these bigger pink cells, which have lips that sing.
Fiddle with it.
Like,
and then Bjork's beautiful voice starts.
A body, a soft tissue.
You can flick the green virus cells away, but then the vocals will stop. Get it? You have to let the love virus in. The whole display is pretty and oddly mesmerizing. Each song has its own unique design and a way for users to interact with it. So beauty and interactivity, these are two elements of biophilia that make the app art, says Galloway.
We also look for, is this something that's moving the field forward? Is it a masterpiece? Because we aspire to be a museum that's chock full of masterpieces.
Galloway thinks this is Bjork's equivalent of Van Gogh's Starry Night. Heather Corcoran is the executive director of Rhizome, an art and technology organization. She says biophilia is the latest example that museums have learned to take digital art seriously. But even still, she notes this app is part of MoMA's design department, which tends to have more freedom than the fine arts.
It's not quite as attached to this like really established canon of art history. So a lot of the most adventurous collecting is happening within the design departments.
And Corcoran says these adventurous new additions come with new preservation challenges for museums. Technology becomes obsolete at alarming rates, much faster than a painting would need restoration. In New York, I'm Tracy Samuelson for Marketplace.
And the Wall Street Journal has come up with a quite unscientific way to judge if people are reading to the end of books. When readers highlight passages using a Kindle e-reader, the favorite sections are made public. And the journal looked to see if many people were highlighting passages late in the book as a hint about whether readers are making it to the end. Which currently hot book has the fewest highlights toward the end? Thomas Piketty's Capital in the 21st Century. That's a dense and controversial work the Wall Street Journal editors were not prone to love anyway, since it's seen as a trenchant critique of capitalism and the inequalities it can foster. The journal's wacky algorithm does show that people do seem to be getting all the way through Donna Tartt's The Goldfinch, a work with a reading level that is more accessible. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.